السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم، اما بعد، فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی رب زدنا علما اللہم فقہنا فی الدین اللہم انا نسألک علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طیبا. اللہم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمین یا رب العالمین. Inshallah, we're going to cover ayat 171 and 172 today of Surah An-Nisa. Inshallah, we'll start off with the word meanings. Starting with ayah number 171. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ahla. Ya is used to address people. So ya means oh. Ahla, people. Al-kitabi, of the book. La, do not. Taghlu. The ta in the beginning means you. And the vowel, alif, in the end means a bunch of people are being addressed. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a lot of people. So, la, do not, taghlu, you all exceed, fi, in, deenikum. Deen means religion or way of life. Kum, yours. Wa, and, la, do not, taqulu, you all say. We know that qawl is the root word and that means a saying. Ta in the beginning means you. Waw, alif in the end, means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a lot of people. So la taqulu, do not say. All of you say, ala, upon, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa, except, al-haq, the truth. Innama, indeed, al-masihu, the Messiah, Isa ibn, Isa ibn, son, Maryama, of Mary, or Maryam, alayhi salam, Rasulu, messenger, Allahi, of Allah, wa, and kalimatuhu. Kalima means a word. Who, his. Alqaha, alqa, he cast, or he put. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cast, ha, it, ila, to, Maryama, Maryam, alayhi as-salam, wa, and, ruhun, a ruh, meaning a spirit, min, from, who, him. And the him refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fa, aminu, fa is the prefix here, and it means so. Aminu comes from iman, which means to have faith, to believe. Aminu is a command, and waw alif in the end tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling a lot of people to do this. So fa aminu, so you all believe, billahi, be in Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa, and rusulihi. Rusul is plural for rasul, which means one messenger. So rusul, messengers, he, his. Wa, and la, do not. Taqulu, you all say, thalatha, three. Indahu, cease or stop. Khayran, better. Lakum, la, for kum, all of you. Innama, indeed, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ilahun, is God or deity. Wahid, one or single. Subhanahu, subhana, glory, who, his. And it can also mean he is free of all defects. An, that. Yakuna, is. Lahu, la, for who, him. Walad, a child. Lahu, la, only for, who, him, ma, whatever, fi, in, as-samawati, the heavens, the skies. Wama, wa and ma, whatever, fi in al-ardi, the earth. Wakafa, wa and kafa, he is sufficient. Billahi, be only Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wakila, a disposer of affairs. This is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. Lan, will never. Yastangif, he disdains. Al-Masihu, the Messiah. An, that. Yakuna, he is. Kun means to be, and that's the root word. Ya tells us, ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So, yakuna, he is. Abadan, a slave, a servant, or worshipper. Lillahi, li for Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa and la, nor. Al-Mala'ikatu. The al at the beginning just means the Mala'ika, angels. Al-Muqarrabun, those who are brought near. Qafraba, qurb means to be near. Muqarrab is somebody who is brought near. An una ending just makes this word plural. So, Al-Muqarrabun means those who are brought near. And of course, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa and man, whoever, yastankif, he disdains. An, from, ibadatihi, ibadati, worship, he, his, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's. Wa and yastakbir, takabbar is the root word here. Takabbar means arrogance. And the ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So yastakbir, he acts proudly, he is arrogant, or he assumes greatness. Fa, then. Sa, soon. Yahshuru, he will gather. Hum, them. Ilayhi, ilay, to, he, him, meaning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jamia, all together. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll start the tafsir of these ayat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Now, before we begin, just remember that the ayat that we've been studying are about the people of the book, meaning the Jews and the Christians, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them the people of the book in the Quran. So far, we've been learning the ayat in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Jews. Okay, so here, ayah 171, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ahl al-kitab, O people of the book, La taghlu fi dinikum, do not cross the limits of your religion. And this is what led to the destruction of the former ummahs. They exceeded in their religion. The first example of how they transgressed was that some of them started saying that Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah, na'udhu billah. Others started saying that he is one of the three, meaning the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they said that God exists in three distinct persons as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Something strange like that. Astaghfirullah. And that meant that Isa alayhi salam was Allah and he descended to the earth. Astaghfirullah. So they crossed all limits in religion. Another way they exceeded was that they made their priests and monks their lords. They took them as their lords. They basically did this when they just listened to them and followed the rules they gave them. Whatever it was. They didn't care about the rules they had gotten from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We already learned this, that they took all their religious laws, meaning their Sharia, from them. And they believed that the priests should set up rules for them. And whatever the priest told them, they believed. Whatever the priest said was halal, they made halal for themselves, and whatever the priest said was haram, they avoided. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can guide people about these matters. We cannot learn from others what is halal and what isn't. The people of the book did take others and let them decide what was lawful and what wasn't. So they basically took their priests as gods when they changed the halal and haram according to however the priests guided them. The other way they exceeded was when they changed their books. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, O people of the book, do not cross the limits. From this, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sensed that his ummah may do this too. Okay? Because a lot of the things that are mentioned about the people of the book in the Quran, they are mentioned because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to learn from their example so we can avoid doing the same things they did, avoid making the same mistakes. And so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was afraid of us doing similar things. So he clearly warned his ummah about this very often. He didn't want us to do the same things the former ummahs did. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned, you will follow the former ummahs exactly like one shoe is like the other from a pair of shoes. You will follow their footsteps and you'll be led by the hand to do the same things they did. And this is why a Bukhari hadith clearly warns us, do not exceed in respect for me the way the Christians exceeded with respect for Isa bin Maryam. This is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. He said, I am a slave of Allah, so call me his slave and his Rasul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed the Jews and the Christians who made the graves of their prophets places where they do sajda, where they prostrate. This meant that he did not want people to start worshipping his grave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his grave, alhamdulillah. But there are so many other graves, graves of saints and other pious people who have died, that Muslim people go to and worship. They do sajda before their graves. Astaghfirullah. They even do this before the graves of the donkeys or buffaloes of saints or righteous people who have passed. Astaghfirullah. And it's so wrong. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly warned us not to do this, not to exceed. A hadith says that a man addressed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the following way one time. He said, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our leader, the son of our leader, the best among us all, and the son of the best among us all. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to stop right there. He said, be careful about what you say, people. Do not let shaitan deceive you. I am Muhammad bin Abdullah and the slave and messenger of Allah. I swear, I do not want you to exceed like that when speaking about me. He stopped that man, even though that man didn't necessarily say anything to exaggerate too much, like we do sometimes nowadays. These days, there are some nasheeds that people listen to, in which people exceed so much out of respect for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They describe him in that poetry as if he has the powers of God, or even better, astaghfirullah. They don't understand deen accurately, and they say that he is the Noor of Allah, okay, meaning the light of Allah. So they basically claim that he wasn't human, that he was made of light. But don't they realize that the Quran tells us clearly that he was a man, And that's what made him so great, that he was so pious, even though he was a man. He was human, just like the rest of us. But he was still able to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so well. That's what makes him so great. When we recite Surah Al-Kahf on Friday, we read the ayah that says, Ana basharum mithlukum. I am a bashar, meaning I'm a human being, just like you. Don't they read that last ayah and understand? Then why have they started to exceed in deen and started doing things Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not want us to do? We cannot do that as Muslims. And remember, when people exceed in religion, they don't do it with bad intentions. They don't want to do anything bad. They do it out of love. But they cross the limits of their love for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they start thinking that he is like Allah. Astaghfirullah. They start believing that he is also Hayy and Qayyum, that he is the ever-living and the sustainer of everything that exists. Astaghfirullah. And they believe that he appears in their gatherings and that he never passed away. This is how people exceed in ibadat, meaning in worship. Imagine if we did that in life. Even when it comes to cooking, for example, if you don't like food without salt, so one day you decide to add way too much salt to the food, going overboard, nobody is going to be able to eat that food because you crossed the limit. That's how it is with deen. We cannot cross the limits set by Allah. We have to take what we were taught and practice that. Do not go to extremes. Some people even believe that imams were free of sin, but that is also exceeding in deen, because the messengers of Allah were the only people who were sin free. The imams were very honorable, but they were not free of sin. People call out to saints to help them when they're in trouble, but that's not allowed. A man once said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "You are the one who gives." And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "No, don't say that about me. I am Qasim. I just distribute." Some people go overboard in their respect for Ali radiallahu anhu, and they say that Ibrahim alayhi salam saw him when he was about to be thrown in the fire built by Namrud, the great fire that he was thrown into, that he saw Ali radiallahu anhu there. Others say that when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went up to the heavens for Miraj, when he ascended, he saw Allah and he saw Ali sitting beside him. Astaghfirullah. So exceeding in deen is wrong. It's not something that we should be proud of. It doesn't prove that we love our prophets or the respected Sahaba or Imams or saints anymore. If we do truly love them, we should follow their sunnah and their teachings. We have to stay within the limits. Remember, there were three Sahaba who visited Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at one time, and they all said something strange. One said that I would pray all night, every night, for the rest of my life. And the second said that he would fast every single day for the rest of his life. And the third said that he would never get married. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say that they were doing something so great or that their intentions were good, so it's okay to intend to do that. He said not to cross the limits. He said, "I got married, I sleep at night and I pray, and I fast on some days and skip other days." Remember that this was about the voluntary fasts, of course. So he meant that he doesn't fast every single day of his life. But that tells us that we have to stay within limits. Of course, we should love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam even more than our own lives. Our iman is not complete without doing that. But we cannot dare to say that he is equal to Allah. Astaghfirullah. That's not what he taught us to do. He did not even like it if the Sahaba stood out of respect for him when he entered. People couldn't tell who the Messenger of Allah was when he was with his Sahaba because he didn't act like he was someone so special. He never liked to stand out and be honored in any special way. He didn't want special treatment at all. When he migrated to Medina, people couldn't even tell if he was a Messenger of Allah or if Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was. Until Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu started to wave a hand fan over him. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to be so humble. So if we love him, we should obey him. Follow his example. There are normal people who are treated in such a respectful way that others prostrate before them. Astaghfirullah. That's so wrong. The ones being respected in that way and the ones doing it are all so ignorant. After understanding what a great sin that is, we must try and understand that we have to educate those people so they know not to do that because they're committing shirk. We should feel the urge to educate others. People who prostrate before people are not really acting like Muslims. Even if they have Muslim names, they're doing shirk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقُّ. Do not transgress the limits of your religion and speak nothing but the truth about Allah. So only state what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. We cannot just make up things and say Allah said those things. That's wrong. Like when people say it's okay to do sajda before a man, that it's okay to prostrate before a man, it's not permissible. Not in the Sharia, the religious law given to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Sharia, doing sajda out of respect for people was allowed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam in the heaven. And Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers did sajda before him out of respect. But that is not allowed anymore. Everyone has to know this. They cannot even go down in the position of ruku or bowing before someone. Because that's a form of sajda too. We can only bow and prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we cannot fabricate lies against Allah when he didn't order such things and then attribute them to him. We can only say about Allah the truth, meaning whatever he said without adding anything to it. As we discussed earlier, the ayat we've been covering were especially about the Ahl Kitab. The first group of ayat were especially about the Jews. And the next part here is about the Christians. We must understand this part properly so we know what the reality of Isa alayhi salam is, because that's stated next. We should know this very well before we do dawa to the Christians, before we invite them to Islam. That's why it's important to focus on these ayat and maybe highlight them so we can remember what the Quran says about Isa bin Maryam. We should be aware of these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear who Isa bin Maryam is. إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بِنُ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Indeed, the Messiah, Isa, the son of Maryam, was a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isa bin Maryam was called the Messiah because he would touch the leper and heal that person. And he was able to heal the sick by passing his hand over them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled him to cure the born blind with his touch. So that person would be able to see. The word Masih comes from Masah, which means to touch. So he is Isa bin Maryam. Okay, he is Isa, son of Maryam, not the son of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this specifically 30 different times in the Quran, that he was Isa bin Maryam. He did not have a father. And that's why his mother's name is mentioned with his name. And so Isa bin Maryam was a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He brought Allah's message to mankind. He was sent to convey the message. وَكَلِمَتُهُ, and his word, which is be. The Christian priests debate about this on the basis of two things from the Quran. They say that the Quran tells people that Isa alayhi salam was the kalima of Allah. And the words people speak are a part of them. They're a portion of the person saying those words. So they claim that he is a part of Allah. Astaghfirullah. The second thing they argue about is the phrase that's coming up. وَرُوْهُمْ مِنْهُ, and a spirit from him. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, they interpret this as him being Allah's spirit. Astaghfirullah. Of course, both of these beliefs are wrong. We must know what kalimatuhu means here so we can tell others too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in various parts of the Quran, إِذَا أَرَادًا شَيْئًا أَنْ يَكُولَ لَهُ كُمْ فَيَكُونَ, when Allah intends to do something, He says, be, and it becomes. And that's what He did with Isa alayhi salam. كَلِمَتُهُ means His word when He said, be, kun. So Isa alayhi salam was born without Maryam having any relations with a man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, kun, and she became pregnant. So Isa alayhi salam, Isa bin Maryam, is a kalima, kun, of Allah. No man was needed for him to be born. He was born without a father, just with Allah's kalima of kun. It doesn't mean that he is the words of Allah. He was born as a result of the word of Allah. That's what this means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created many other things by saying kun too. The whole universe was created that way. But that doesn't mean that everything in the universe is a part of Allah. Astaghfirullah. Alqaha ila Maryama. He bestowed it on Maryam. He cast the kalima kun on her womb and she became pregnant. Waruhum minhu. And he is a spirit from him, which took the shape of a child in her womb. This means that Isa alayhi salam is a soul from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean that he was a soul of Allah or a part of him. Astaghfirullah. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Adam alayhi salam too? وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, and we breathed in him from our spirit. That doesn't mean that he breathed his own ruh into Adam alayhi salam. Instead, it means that he breathed a ruh, a spirit, into him. So he breathed a spirit into Adam alayhi salam from himself, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about all the humans, that he breathed into them ruh from himself. So this interpretation cannot be correct when they say that Allah breathed his own ruh into Isa alayhi salam. So we can't just look at this part, just these two words alone, ruhum minhu, and infer that the way Christians interpret it is correct. We have to look at all the other parts too, so we can understand that the same words are used there too in other examples. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified many times in the Quran that Isa alayhi salam is a slave of Allah. He is a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُنذِرُ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا, and He warns those who say Allah has taken a son. And then Allah says, مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ إِلْمٍ وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ, they don't have any knowledge and neither did their forefathers. Next, he says, كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. It is a great thing that comes out of their mouths. إِنْ يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. They only tell lies. It's nothing but lies. So we can't just take this part and think it means a spirit from his own. Astaghfirullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made clear in many parts of the Quran that he has no children. Lam yalid wa lam yulad in Surah Ikhlas. And that means he does not have a child, nor was he born to someone. So how can people say that Isa alayhi salam is his child? That he is his son? In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us clearly that it's wrong for people to say that Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. So believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messengers. The Christians believed in all the messengers of Allah, except Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now they have no choice but to admit that he was a messenger from Allah, because they can't deny it anymore. But they say that he was a messenger for the Arabs only, not for all of mankind. But they should read the Quran and find out what it says, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a messenger for all of mankind. We just learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُول. In fact, a Rasul has come to you. He doesn't just address the Arabs there and say a Rasul has come to you. He says for people to believe in the Rasul who has come to them with the truth. He calls out to all of mankind and tells them to believe. So that ayah clarifies that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a messenger for all of mankind. وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَةً. And do not say Trinity, meaning do not say Allah, Masih, and Maryam, or Allah, Masih, and Ruhul Qudus. This is their concept of Trinity, and the reason why they make the sign of the cross with their hand. وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَةً. And do not say three. Indahu, stop saying that. Khayran lakum, it is better for you. It's for their own good if they stop doing shirk like that. They are told to repent because innamallahu ilahun wahid. Indeed, Allah is only one God. It's so unfortunate that they took ruhum minhu and kalimatuhu to interpret it the wrong way, and they ignored what is clearly mentioned here in the same ayah next, where it says ilahun wahid, that he is the only ilah. There is no other ilah but him. So how can they say such things? His ruh, or his spirit, has not gone into anyone. Or wouldn't that mean that other beings are also a part of him? They're not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that our ilah is only one. So that did not happen. That's not possible. He is ilahun wahid, the only deity. Ilah means the one that is worthy of worship, God, and the one who has all the power, the one who's capable of doing anything. That's what we declare when we say the shahada, when we say la ilaha illallah. There's no God but Allah. Only he has all the power, and he is all able. Sadly, even some Muslims do not understand this, and they go to others to seek help in their times of trial. They go to the graves of saints and ask them for help, as if they could help them. If they understood what the Shahada actually means, they would never do such a thing. They may not know that they're committing shirk when they go to the graves of pious people and ask for help, but we know, right? We know that that's shirk. So shouldn't we try to educate them about this? So they can avoid such a great sin. They have to be led out of that darkness that they're surrounded by, so they can stop being ignorant. And that's the reason they do it anyway, out of ignorance, because they just don't know that it's wrong, and they never bother to find out. Most people don't commit shirk on purpose. It's just that many do not understand that they're committing shirk when they do such things. However, there are some who do understand, but they insist that there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. So of course we can't force them, but at least we have to let those who have no idea that they're doing anything wrong, we have to let them know that it is wrong. So إِنَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Indeed, Allah is only one deity. He is all able, powerful. He is the only one worthy of worship. Subhanahu, he is free of all defects. His glory. Subhan comes from the word sabaha, which means to float. So we declare that he is far above any defects, any faults. He is far above the shirk people commit. He is above any weaknesses. We declare that he is far above all these things and anything else that cannot be associated with him. When we say Subhanallah, we declare that he is free of all faults and defects. And that's why this is a great kalima. And we try to do its tasbih. So Subhanahu, his glory. What is he far above? Having to eat, getting old, getting weak, coming to an end. He is above all these things. Saying Subhanallah is a great way of glorifying him. So we should understand what we're actually saying when we say Subhanallah. He is far above the need of having a child. Subhanahu. He is far above أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ, from the need of having a child, from the need of having a son. He is free of this. Humans need children or sons, specifically in some cultures, because humans are not complete. People need them. Humans need children for strength and support, for help when they get old. Their children are youthful when they start getting old and weak, so their kids are there to support them. They rely on their children. The children also carry on the family names. Sometimes people especially ask for sons so they can be lowered into their graves by their sons. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not get old, weak, or cease to exist. He is Subhan. So why would he need a son? Like they say he has. He doesn't rely on anyone. The Quran tells us so many times that they're wrong in doing this. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they say against Allah, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. They surely say that Allah is Masih ibn Maryam. That Allah has himself descended to the earth as Masih bin Maryam. Astaghfirullah. وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحُ. Even though Isa alayhi salam said, Ya Bani Israel, اعبدوا الله ربي وربكم. O Bani Israel, worship Allah. He is my Lord and your Lord. He was especially sent to Bani Israel. So Isa alayhi salam especially addressed them. He didn't tell people to convey his message to all of mankind, but Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. He told us to carry on his message to all of mankind. So we have to fulfill this responsibility of conveying the message to people. Isa alayhi salam told Bani Israel to worship Allah, who is his Lord and their Lord. Then he said, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Indeed, whoever associated partners with Allah, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. then indeed Allah has forbidden Jannah for him. وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ, and his abode is the fire. وَمَا لِلْظَالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ, and there will be no helpers for the wrongdoers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Al-Maida, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثًا. Certainly, those who disbelieve say indeed Allah is the third of the three. Either they say that Allah is the third of Isa alayhi salam and Maryam, or the third of Isa alayhi salam and angel Jibreel. He says they've done kufr when they say that. They have disbelieved. وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ, and there is no God but Him alone, and there is none worthy of worship but Him. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَنْتَهُوا عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ لَيَمَسَّنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ, and if they don't stop saying what they do, there is a painful punishment that will afflict them. He tells us these things clearly in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayat 72 and 73. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us over and over again in the Quran what Isa bin Maryam had told people, so they stop what they started to do after him. The things they started believing are wrong, and Allah does not need any child or anyone for support. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, we learn at the end that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question Isa alayhi salam about this on the Day of Judgment. He'll ask, did you tell people to take you and your mother as gods to worship besides Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, of course, that Isa alayhi salam didn't order people to do this, but he's going to question Isa alayhi salam about it just to show the people who committed this shirk that they were so wrong to do this. And Isa alayhi salam will reply, Subhanaka, you are free of all defects, O Allah. It's not suitable for me to say such a thing, but I have no right to say. I wouldn't dare say that. If I had said it, you would have known, O Allah. I didn't tell them to do this. So doesn't that clearly tell people that their beliefs about the Trinity are wrong? What else do they need to hear after this? لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, only to Him belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth. Everything that's in the heavens and the earth is His anyway. So why would He need a son? وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا, and Allah alone is sufficient for protection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hayy and Qayyum. He has always been there and always will be. Death does not overtake Him. So why would He need someone to carry on His name? He doesn't have a child. He is enough as the disposer of affairs. لَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفَ الْمَسِيحُ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَبْدًا لِلَّهِ. The Messiah, Jesus, never disdained to be the worshipper of Allah. He is not embarrassed at all of being a slave of Allah. Isa alayhi salam doesn't mind at all that he is the servant of Allah. He confessed this himself. The ayah we just learned from Surah Al-Ma'idah tells us that he said, worship Allah, who is your Lord and my Lord. Isa alayhi salam brought back the dead to life. He healed the leper and the born blind and told people what food they stored in their homes. He did all these things by the permission of Allah. He performed miracles right in front of people, but he did not want people to be impressed by him or start worshiping him. He didn't perform miracles so others could say great things about him. He only told them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was happy to be the servant of Allah because being the servant of Allah makes people honorable. When people are slaves to others, that's something that's embarrassing. They're embarrassed by it. But being a slave to Allah is amazing. There's nothing wrong with it. It's the best thing possible. Isa alayhi salam was very humble, so he called himself the Abd of Allah, the worshipper of Allah. And he considered himself very insignificant compared to Allah. He never thought that it was embarrassing to be the slave of Allah or the servant of Allah. In fact, this was one of the first things he said when he spoke from the cradle. He said, "Inni Abdullah." I am the slave of Allah. So Isa alayhi salam never disdained to be the worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, nor do the angels who are nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not all the angels have the same ranks. Some are مُقَرَّبُونَ, and they are very near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels that carry the throne are near Allah. So they are the bearers of the throne, and they're very close to him. So is angel Jibreel, who is the leader of the angels. All these angels glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. That is just what they do. Just like we breathe, they glorify Allah. They never even think about sinning. The angels do their jobs that they were assigned to do, like the angel in charge of rain makes it rain. The angel of death causes people to die. And the one who provides risk for people gives them sustenance. They all do their jobs, as well as glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. They never stop doing his tasbih. They do it all the time. And those who are muqarrab to Allah, the ones who are very near him, are very big. They are so strong that they bear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's arsh. They're so large that the distance between their earlobe and their shoulder is the distance of a 700-year journey. Another hadith tells us that the lowest heaven and the one above it is a distance of 500 years. So imagine how large those angels are. But they're never embarrassed of being the slaves of Allah. And we must understand what it means to be a slave. Okay, so we can judge if we are actually slaves of Allah as we claim to be. Being a slave of Allah means that that person is not a free person anymore. In fact, he or she is exactly the opposite of a free person who does whatever they want. Imagine how great Isa alayhi salam was. He was one of the chosen messengers of Allah, but he was never embarrassed of being the servant of Allah. And neither are the angels who are so close to Allah. They're near him. So we should stop and ask ourselves, am I embarrassed of being a slave of Allah? And of course we're going to think that, oh, of course we're not embarrassed. But if Muslim women are embarrassed to cover up properly, according to the orders of Allah, when they attend gatherings, that means they're embarrassed of being the slaves of Allah, because they don't want to follow His rules. At times like that, a lot of people enjoy being the slaves of Shaitan, just to be considered fashionable. Also, when people say hello or hi when greeting other Muslims, instead of saying salam, they're basically embarrassed to admit that they are the slaves of Allah. They're not obeying Him. Some Muslim men are too embarrassed to grow a beard or wear their pants above their ankles. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Sahaba were not embarrassed. Even in those times, kings used to wear long robes that used to drag behind them as they walked. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept his ankles uncovered, because letting the garment hang from behind and drag was a sign of arrogance. So following the rules we were given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about these matters should not be difficult for Muslims. If we're proud to do things that represent shaitan and embarrassed of doing what a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, we should try to correct ourselves. Isa alayhi salam and the other messengers were innocent. They were free of sins, but they were still very humble, and they declared that they were all Abdullah, the slaves of Allah. They were never arrogant. We are nothing compared to them. We're so sinful. So why are we still so arrogant? And we act like we're too embarrassed to be the slaves of Allah, even though that is what makes people more honorable. When we do things to impress others, sinning in the process, because we start disobeying Allah, we are basically being slaves to others. And that is humiliating. For example, if a woman goes out all dressed up without covering up properly, just so others will think she's beautiful, she's basically being their slave. Right? She's doing that to impress them. Isn't that humiliating? Doing things to please people when it includes disobeying Allah? So we should think about all the different ways that we're embarrassed of being the slaves of Allah, so we can work on ourselves and reform. وَمَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفْ عَنْ عِبَادَتِهِ And whoever disdains his worship, whoever doesn't want to do it, or minds being the slave of Allah, وَيَسْتَكْبِرْ And he is arrogant. This is a case of people disobeying and not being the slaves of Allah. They want to assume greatness and they want to act proudly. فَسَيَحْشُرُهُمْ إِلَيْهِ جَمِيعًا Then soon he will gather them towards him altogether. This means that he will gather them all together for azab, for punishment. So the person described here is arrogant, and that person fails to worship Allah, because worshipping Allah means that he would lower himself before Allah, to bow before him. And for people who fulfill the desires of others, they just worry about pleasing others. They're not lowering themselves before Allah. They are embarrassed to follow his orders, so they obey the trends. Okay, they follow the trends instead of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadah means that we should believe that my thoughts and feelings don't matter. Okay, what I think doesn't matter. It's not important. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is most important, so we have to obey him in all aspects of life. Think about what he wants us to do in all matters and be careful not to disobey him. That is what ibadah actually means. And it also means that we should take guidance from him alone for everything in our lives. Only listen to him, nobody else. Let him tell you what we should eat, what we should wear, where we should go, what kind of work we should do, how we should deal with others, what to do when someone's getting married, when someone dies. In all these matters, let him decide what's right. Obey him. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us in all these matters. That is what ibadah actually is. And whoever is arrogant, whoever disobeys, or doesn't think it's important to obey Allah in these matters, should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather them all towards him soon anyway. And we know from the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that anyone who has the least bit of arrogance in his heart, even as much as the weight of a mustard seed, will not enter Jannah. So they will not be able to enter Jannah if they're even as arrogant as the weight of a mustard seed. And people do takabbur. They are arrogant when they reject the truth. When they say that they don't want to obey Allah, they're being arrogant. They think they're better than others who try to convey the message to them, as if they know better. But in the end, everyone is going to be gathered towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anyway. So it's not suitable for people to assume greatness when they should be proud to be his slaves. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Amin ya rabbal alamin. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.